Okay, Laura, so big week coming up for the West Kootenai Climate Hub. You're holding an event at the Nelson Library, an interactive workshop. So before we get into that, that's November 6th. Let's give some background for some listeners who might not know who you are, what group you're part of, the West Kootenai Climate Hub. Who are you guys?
So the West Kootenai Climate Hub, we're an organization that was started to better collaborate in the West Kootenai region on groups that are working on climate change or other initiatives that are associated with it. And so we have over 20 different partner organizations, and we connect and collaborate, and our main goal is to accelerate climate action in the Kootenais.
Okay, great. And how long have you guys been around?
We formed at the end of 2021, so we're actually relatively new. Part of the it's a nationwide community climate hub initiative to be better connected, and so not only connecting locally, but then also connecting with other groups across the province and across the country.
Yeah, okay, that's great. I didn't even know about the whole countrywide connection because obviously, you know, we have some great minds working on that type of stuff around here, but if you can connect with people all over the country, it just spreads so much more. Do you guys do any work with the city or the province at all to help get any regulations passed, any initiatives put out there?
Yeah, we're always advocating for better climate policies. So we meet with our local MLAs regularly, and we also connect up with other groups that are doing work provincially and then citywide. Yes, we've actually we have a couple of members that are even on the official community planning committee, and we also have advocated for other policies as well, and making sure that Nelson Next gets implemented.
Hey, that was the next thing I was going to bring up. You've probably had some sort of say on the whole Nelson Next plan.
Yes, and we need to keep on going with it, is what I got to say. There's a lot of different initiatives going on, and we help to also work with the city to help promote some of the really great stuff that they're doing. For example, we helped with the Climate Friendly Homes tour and had opportunities for the city to put some of the good work that they're doing on retrofitting at these different homes that were featured.
Well, on paper, it seems like the city is trending in a great direction. They have a lot of very ambitious goals, whether or not those are hit is a question, but it looks like they're, you know, looking to do the right thing and looking to do innovative things.
Yeah, and always better to shoot high and get a little low than shoot low and not do much. So,
Right.
yeah.
No, that makes sense. And what about you? What makes you so passionate about the climate? Has this always been something that you've been interested in and been working on?
I first learned about climate change many years ago when I was working on my master's degree in environmental sciences. And at that time, it looked like we were going to actually make some changes globally. And when it started looking more and more likely that we weren't and things were slowing, and I had two kids, two daughters, and was quite started getting really worried about their future and the future that we're leaving for, all children, as well as the wild creatures and humans, especially ones that are, in the most vulnerable parts of our population here and globally. It just felt like a moral obligation to step up and do something.
Well, it's good we have groups like the West Kootenai Climate Hub and climate hubs all across the country, like you mentioned. So let's talk about what you guys are up to lately. Your interactive workshop at the library on November 6th at 7 p.m. So what's that event going to entail?
So it's a we're calling it the Climate Solutions Workshop, and that's because the focus is around climate solutions. So while we acknowledge the urgency and everything that's happening with climate change, we're not going to be focusing a lot on the cause, the dire impacts and all of that. We're really going to shift pretty quickly to what will it take to actually solve the climate crisis, or can it be solved, or what will it take to minimize the harm that we're doing? Because currently, right now, we're on a projection to go to some pretty scary places. We've currently got global heating at like 1.2 degrees. The Paris Agreement says we want to keep it to 1.5. We don't have a lot of time. And a lot of people have actually, I find, there's some people that don't think it's happening, although that's a small minority, but many people are in despair and feel like it's too late. And that's also really concerning because we haven't really gotten started yet. And so what we hope to accomplish with this workshop is to, energize people to see the
Right.
possibilities of what we can do, and that there is still many, many things that can be done.
I agree with the fact that people think it's too late. I think if you're not a climate change denier, you're aware of what's going on, but you're not directly involved, I think it's hard to be optimistic. if you don't know about solutions, you don't know about works like your group's doing or the works like the City of Nelson is doing, mm-hmm. it's hard to have optimism because you just see so much like fear news on the internet.
Mm-hmm. And things are shifting rapidly in a lot of ways that many people aren't aware of. And I think it's some of it's our brain. You know, we go towards those bad news stories, but it's I think the algorithms on social media tend to share the bad news stories yeah. rather than good news stories. And yeah, so I think that is really important to like realize, especially a lot of youth suffer with climate anxiety and climate grief for a good reason. But that's not where we need to stay. You know, we need to find ways to get out of that. And being active for me is one, because I struggle also regularly with that. And doing something and finding other people that are doing things. And then it sort of amplifies and shifts your mindset that, yes, there are things that are going on that we can do. And because of that, I think Greta Thunberg had a great quote about hope being is actually doing that work. Can't remember exactly it, but you know, that's where the hope comes from, being with others and doing the work.
So what is some of that work that a regular citizen can do? Is this some of the stuff that'll be at the workshop, is teaching just an everyday person how they can help, you know, reach those numbers of the Paris Agreement or slow climate change?
Well, the workshop's going to be in a couple of, we're going to have that divided into a couple different parts. And one part, we're actually going to be using this simulator called En-ROADS. That's a global simulator saying, what does it take? And as a group, we're going to be looking at a number of different solutions to see what it takes. A lot of people have ideas of what might be the solutions, but we can test those and we can see, you know, is that making the difference that we need? For example, some people think tree planting, if we just planted a whole bunch of trees, yet if we don't do anything with the fossil fuels, then we're not going to be able to make the changes we need. Same with electric vehicles. If we electrify things, but we don't shift our primary sources right. Across the world to a clean energy. So we're going to be looking in more of a broader brush at some of that during the sort of the main part of the workshop, when we're using our minds to like imagine like what would that future look like and what gets better as well. So it's not just about reducing, you know, greenhouse gas emissions, for example, but it's like, you know, improvements on health and ecosystems and so on. So, and then the latter part, we will be talking about how we can take these learnings to the local level and what we can do locally. But it's not going to be like a lecture, it's going to be a group discussion. And okay. That's how I'd like to frame it, so that we can hear everybody's ideas, because there's so many people with lots of great ideas. And it's not going to be like a top-down list of what you need to do.
That En-ROADS sounds fascinating and also fun, like yeah. testing out all these different ideas. So you could do things, say, just for example, change all the coal burning plants in, say, China to nuclear power and see how that affects like decades down the road, right?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. We can't, it's not specifically country based, this particular simulator, but you can say, what if all coal fired power plants got shut down, and what if we subsidized nuclear, for example, and we could see what that would do. Yeah.
That sounds cool. Yeah. It sounds fun. It sounds like a video game, kind of.
It's a really interesting, because every time there's so many different ways to kind of get there.
You mentioned young people having climate anxiety. Where do you stand in that right now? Where's your optimism level towards the future of the climate, the planet?
Well, I just keep on doing this because I know that if we give up and say we don't have any hope for the future, then I can't really get out of bed in the morning. So I know that there's a lot of really good people working around the world to try to do what we can. And there's lots of great people locally as well. So I don't know if I really have like a scale of 1 to 10 and how I feel today. But I struggle with climate anxiety regularly, but I also feel very hopeful as well. So it's kind of like holding two things at the same time, because I just feel like that's kind of where we're at and what's necessary. And giving up, saying, you know, it's too late, is, I think, morally wrong. And doing it, because there's so many things we can do to reduce the harm.
Well, like any major world issue, it's never going to be fully fixed, never going to be have everyone on board, but I feel like in the last 10, 15 years, like we're miles ahead of where we were, at least with the people accepting the state of where the planet is at. Mm-hmm. And I would think that the minds that are really going to solve this problem are probably still developing right now.
That's right. Yeah, yeah. And I do, I agree with you. There's been a big shift in people's awareness of climate change and the issues around it, like you said, the problems, but also the solutions and the things, the fact that things like, you know, renewable energy, like solar and wind has gone down so drastically, the costs of it, that it's now feasible, where even, you know, 10 years ago, it felt like it would be a hugely expensive endeavor to take and go, like, shift to be all renewable and get rid of fossil fuels. But it's very feasible now, and there's experts saying that.
So back to the climate workshop, people want to attend. Where do they sign up?
Well, it's drop-in, so there is no registration. And so you show up at the library. I'm not exactly sure where it will be, but there'll be signage. I think it probably is going to be in one of the downstairs room. So it starts at 7, so come a little bit early. Make sure you can get a seat. I don't know how many people will be expected, but the library did ask that it wasn't a registration. They wanted to keep it open for anybody that wanted to attend.
Okay, so that's November 6th, 7 p.m. at the Nelson Library. Anything else you want to share about it?
I did want to say that this is part of BC Library Association's Climate Week, Climate Action Week. And so this is a BC-wide. Libraries are raising awareness of climate change issues and what can be done, what's happening locally, and so on. And so this is part of what the Nelson Library is doing for that week.
So I believe that is November 4th to 10th, the Climate Week at BC Libraries. So if you can't make it to the event here in Nelson, maybe check out your own local libraries and see what they have going on. Laura, thanks for joining us here.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me.